that in explaining last week about Septuagesima, this is a short season, the shortest season of the church year, that has for its purpose to prepare us for the season of Lent. Lent is an important season for us, and if we only see Lent as, well, let's say the Catholic four-letter word that we try to avoid, then we're looking at Lent more from a worldly or selfish reason than we are for the spiritual benefit that comes from the Lenten season, Lenten time. You see, Lent is the time that the church gives to us to prepare for two important events that are reviewed every year at a certain time. One is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, proving to us by his resurrection from the dead that all that he had predicted and said about himself being God, having risen himself from the dead, proves to us that he is God, and everything he has told us, everything he has promised us is true because God himself is the one who is promising that. But even before that event, we spend an entire week, we call it Holy Week, recounting the events of the passion and death of our Lord, all the way from Palm Sunday through Holy Thursday, the vigil that's there, Good Friday, a remembrance of the passion, and then the Easter vigil, and finally our Lord's resurrection. It's called Holy Week because it is a week of great graces for us. It's a time that demands a lot of preparation for it. And I don't just mean liturgical preparation or even the work the choir does to help in these particular ways. It requires a lot of work here, interiorly, of preparation. We will gain the graces from Holy Week to the point that we use Lent well, to the point that Lent becomes for us a time to overcome ourselves, as St. Paul calls it, a dying to self, a dying daily, of seeing those parts in our lives that we see that are offensive to God, bad habits that we give into frequently, temptations that we yield to too quickly without making an effort to fight them and overcome them. Lent, with the graces that comes, but the graces come because of the sacrifices that are imposed upon us by the church. Lent becomes for us a time of grace because through those penances, through the fasting and abstinence that are imposed upon adults for the entire 40-day period of time, for those penances that are there, we start to die to ourselves. Many people will come, will say, "Father, I've got this bad habit, and I can't seem to overcome it. I pray, I do this reading, I come to church, I ask in Holy Communion, I beg your Blessed Mother, we do all of these particular things, and that bad habit is still there, and I can't seem to overcome it." And my answer is always the same. Prayer is good, but it is not enough. And if we are going to overcome the passions that we have in them, especially those that we have given into frequently and fed, if you will, you know, if we fed our passions more and more, the passions are of such a type that once you give into them once, they're going to be right there the next day or within a few hours to want to be fed again. And they're going to be asked and demanded to be fed again. And what often happens is, if we are not on top of that, if we're not recognizing our passions for what they are, if we only see in all these things or sacrifices or we're going on all these temptations, that we're having all these trials that God's allowing me to go through and whatever, and I just can't help it, and I fall, so and then I run off to confession, then I'm weakening. I'm letting the passions get the best of me. The only way we conquer passions is by dying to ourselves, by penitential works. It is the only way. Passions, giving into them, yield bad habits. And bad habits only go away when we replace them with good habits. It is the only way. Prayer is important. Prayer wins for us the grace and strength to keep up the work that we must do in order to conquer bad habits, to change our way of life, to start to practice the virtue that goes contrary to the bad habits we keep giving into. Have a problem with anger? Practice patience. And don't just say, "I'm going to be more patient." Be specific with it. Be specific with the act of patience. That I am not going to let my button be pushed no matter what the circumstances are. That if I allow myself to yield to this temptation of anger because I keep feeding that passion over and over and I haven't cared that much in my life about it, then what I will do here now is I will make sure that temptation goes away. I will do so by prayer, by changing my mind, by thinking of something else, by getting involved in keeping things busy, by doing all that I can through the day to keep my heart and mind calm, to ask for Jesus, who is meek and humble of heart, to make my heart just like his. That's just the one passion of anger given into in a wrong way. The passion of envy, passion of jealousy, the passion of sloth, which causes us to be so lazy in the things of God and the other things that we must do through the day. The passion of lust, in which we give into impure temptation so quickly, so easily, because, as the Catechism warns us, it is so quickly, so easy to give in to those temptations, and it becomes so hard to fight off the bad habit that has come once we've done that. The whole point of the Lenten season, there are graces there for us to break those bad habits, by the grace of God, to conquer, to actually be able to make a change in our lives and to live for God. And in doing that, spending Lent in that way, we're preparing for Holy Week, for the greatest amount of graces we will ever receive in our entire lives, Holy Week each time. To be able to learn to love God, to appreciate what he had done in suffering and dying for us. To make the promise of saying, I will not let you the sufferings of Jesus Christ be in vain for me. I recognize all that he has suffered for me. These are not going to be words. They're going to affect my heart. And if I spend Lent denying myself, if I spend Lent doing penance, not just the penances the church imposes, but other things that can come up through the day, other actions that I can do that help me to die to myself, works of virtue, like I said, that help us to practice the virtue that is opposite the bad habit I'm really trying to conquer. If I spend Lent that way, I've made a good Lent. That's what the church puts before us today in the gospel of this particular point. Last week, we talked about the importance of Septuagesima and what it is and where our mindset needs to be during this short season. But before we get too much farther until Lent comes up, and since we need to make resolutions how we can spend a good Lent, this Sunday is given to us to understand about the importance of penance, of doing penance, of doing it in a proper way, and recognizing that penance, the works of mortification, are bound to all of us. Every one of us has sinned. Even if it's only original sin, even if we have somebody among us here who has never committed an actual sin, venial or mortal, even if there's anyone among us who has never done that, there has still been original sin. There has still been faults and failings that are not part of the Christian way of life. Our Lord says even the just man falls 7 times in the day. And those falls we need to do penance for. If we don't mortify ourselves, if we don't do penance, we're just going to keep falling into those same sins over and over and over again and come to the point that we don't care. Where before God, we should care. He's made us our children, his children. He's promised us eternal life. But eternal life will come only at the effort that we put into it. And that effort at time is to come through this world with great struggles and trials that come. The gospel story of today, in which the sower of the seed, which Jesus gives the interpretation about, but the sower comes out with the seed, and yet we see under 3 different circumstances, different things happen with the seed. The seed is all the same, okay? It's the same seed that's put out there. The difference is the soil on which it comes. The grace of God is all the same. The difference why it doesn't work the same in every soul is dependent upon how that soul is ready to receive that grace. Is it choked away with the cares and pleasures of this world in such a worldly way? Our Lord just used a simple explanation. What happens for people like that? God gives grace. He wants them to come to him. He shows his love for them. And our Lord says, those who have let that grace fall on such a soil that their soul is all cared up with the cares and riches of the world, very little of supernatural way of life, that they yield no fruit. No grace comes forth. If they keep falling into mortal sin, fine, they keep doing it. Even venial sin, it keeps up. Justifying themselves in the point of sin, justifying why I can't overcome temptations and bad habits, because the grace is there to help them, but it yields no fruit because they've lived in a worldly life. There are others that can choke away that seed by too much care. It can start to work, but not enough. But he tells us that those, when the seed falls upon them, when they receive it with joy, that their hearts are ready. They know God is going to give them grace. They know there is going to be special help that comes all this time, and they are ready to receive it and to use it. And they bring forth fruit, it says, but in much patience. Because just like a seed growing up out of the ground, it's going to be a struggle to reach its final end, so too it is for us. For the seed to be planted in our soul, to gain that holiness of life, it just doesn't come just that simple. It becomes a struggle, a point of life for us there that takes effort. And that effort God blesses. St. Paul, when he referred to talking to the Corinthians and explaining to them that they had been convinced by some other people that penance is not that important, or that this Paul man, his gospel is not right because he emphasizes so much about death to self. St. Paul tells them, he says, not only is it the correct gospel that he has learned it that way, and whatever you thought of the sufferings you have gone through, let me tell you what I have suffered for your souls. And now you go back and ask those people, do they suffer the same? I'm shipwrecked. I'm in perils from the waters, from perils in the nations, from the Gentiles, from false brethren, even my own people, I'm in perils. So many things he records for us of all the things that he has suffered, and he tells us he has suffered it for them. All these sufferings will not go in vain. All the graces he gains do not go in vain because he has this intention of pleasing God, accepting the suffering, knowing that because we are friends of God, suffering is going to come to our life. It's just the way of occurrence. This is the way God works. There is no running from it. He tries to explain them to this, and he goes on to call it the power of Christ, which Christ himself explained it to him. St. Paul had been buffeted by a thorn of Satan, he said. And three times, he says, he asked God. Three times he asked to be relieved of this temptation. Now, maybe he thinks by that he's done quite a bit by asking three times, where many people, it can be a struggle for almost an entire lifetime to get on top of themselves and not yield to temptation. Anyway, Christ speaks to him and tells him that even though he besought and asked for this particular the help that he had asked for, he says, my grace is sufficient. Grace is there. The grace is always there to help you through. All you have to do is cooperate with it, and you can make it through anything. And he says, power, this power of that grace is made perfect by infirmity. So what if I'm tempted a lot? Temptations are not sins. But temptations are sent to me either by God, or the devil is allowed to tempt me, or even I'm responsible for temptations. Wherever they may come from, they're allowed in my life so that I can conquer, so I can become strong. That's what spiritual idea of understanding of what temptations come from. And even in that seemingly infirmity that comes with being tempted, when I rise above it and use the grace of God and don't yield to temptation, then the power of Christ, not my own, not anything I do of myself, the power of Christ, he shows forth. And so St. Paul, that triumphant statement he makes at the end of today's epistle. Gladly then will I suffer. Let me be tempted, yes. Let me go through crosses and trials and difficulties in life, yes. Let me do that. Only give me the corresponding grace that I need to make it through. Gladly will I suffer all these things. So the power of Christ, his grace, his strength will dwell within me. This is how we look at penance. This is how we look at trials and crosses that come our way. This is how we're supposed to accept them in the Christian spirit. The church wants us to understand what this power is. The power of grace. The power that comes from penitential acts, conquering ourselves, and living for God. We can understand it. The more we start to practice it, we do understand it better and better. We come closer to God. I'm not going to say temptations, crosses, and trials disappear. They don't. But we have the grace to handle them better. That's the important thing. And that's what we are preparing for right now with this closing part of Septuagesima. 10 days left before Ash Wednesday. 10 days left now to convince ourselves of the importance of penance and overcoming ourselves, the importance of penance for us to help to lessen temptation, the importance of penance to bring that power of Christ into our souls by the grace of God. So as the gospel says, it will bring forth fruit and patience. If we make these resolutions, we will know what that fruit is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.